Question 5 for Mr. Foster. How are we to understand Mark chapter 13, verse 32, especially the reference to the Son, not knowing the day or the hour? Matthew 13, 32 reads, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father."
I would have thought that this question should have been given to Dr. Douglas, since he was the professor of Greek in the Whitfield College for many, many years, and before that, and even in my days. And it has, the answer has a bearing on the actual underlying Greek text. But let me just say, before I come to that, since this is a favorite verse of those who challenge the idea, the thesis that we in the SGAT and those who share our view put forward, namely, that the Bible teaches us what we are to look out for with regards to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who would say this verse tells us that the Lord Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. Therefore, if he doesn't know, how can he tell you what you are to expect with regards events leading up to his return? As I say, that's a favourite verse of those who criticise and who are opposed. Well, I say the favourite verse. That would give you the impression that they have other verses. I really haven't heard them use any other verse other than this one, as they would challenge our position. Now, let me quickly say that to state that the Lord Jesus Christ is ignorant of the day of his return is utterly ludicrous. It's just ludicrous. We're talking about the one who knows all things, who knows the end from the beginning. And therefore, for anyone to suggest that he doesn't know the day of his return, or that this verse teaches that thing, is to put forward something that is a denial of the very deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffice said on that point. Secondly, it's contrary to the clear statements of the Lord Jesus regarding his own omniscience, his own knowing of all things. Let me read you one verse, Matthew 11:27. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." That's John 10, I should say. John 10 and 15. "As the Father knoweth me," the perfect knowledge of the Father is shared by the Lord Jesus of his Father. He knows all about his Father. And since his Father has set the day of the return of the Savior, the Lord Jesus here in John chapter 10, verse 15, is indicating that he is aware of that knowledge. He possesses that knowledge. Again, Matthew 11:27. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Those verses and others parallel to them indicate the knowledge of the Lord concerning his Father and his Father's will. Now I come to a suggestion regarding the underlying Greek of this verse. And I'm going to be brief here, and if anyone wishes to discuss the matter further, then you have opportunity to talk to Dr. Douglas afterwards. But let me just quickly say this, that the Greek word translated in Mark 13:32 as knoweth is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 2 only there. It is translated by the word know. Paul there says, for I determined not to know, or not to preach, not to declare or expound among you any doctrine save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, if we use the translation that we find of this Greek word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 2, if we use that same English word in our text, then the text, Mark chapter 13 verse 32, would read, and I feel should read, that day and hour none makes known, neither the angels nor the Son, but the Father. And the Lord Jesus, having received this information, this knowledge from His Father, has made it known unto us regarding the day of His coming. I'll just close with Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God, that's God the Father, gave unto Him to show unto His servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent it by His angel unto His servant John. That's the sequence of inspiration of the imparting of knowledge. You and I today are looking at that which came from the Father through His Son by His servants and recorded in His Word. And we are in possession of that information. That is what I believe the verse 32 in Mark 13 should be translated.
It's clear that our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on earth, did not suffer any limitation in His knowledge. Very important theologically, because there are those among, we call them the critics, who have alleged most emphatically that the Lord Jesus Christ was nothing better than a Galilean peasant. So He was limited by the prejudices of His time and didn't know as much as all of our enlightened people know. So it was confidently said He would know nothing about airplanes or television or even fridges, that kind of thing, that He was grossly limited as a peasant. This is wicked. It is a slander on the Lord, because, as has been quoted there, John 10:15. Now, that's a very important verse, and there are parallel passages to it in Matthew and also in Luke, showing you that our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on this earth, had omniscient knowledge. He knew all things, so that He was not limited in any way. In Him, Colossians says, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Yeah. So it's not only the Godhead dwells in Him, but the fullness of the Godhead. And then come to that, all the fullness, which is really taking it away out there to interminable lengths. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. The fact that it says bodily refers to the physical presence of Christ when He was on earth. So our Lord did know all things. And John's Gospel, by the way, Remember that reference. I hope you got it noted down there, because it's very important on a number of issues for you to know and be clear about John 10:15. So do get it down, please. But if you're doing that, bear in mind that the remaining chapters of John's Gospel, just starting there, chapter 1, going all the way through, you can make a very important study of the knowledge of Christ in the Gospel of John. See how much he did know, way, way beyond what the sharpest mind among men could have known. Our Lord's knowledge comes through there very vividly in John's Gospel. So he does know all things. And we're not to suggest that on earth our Lord had limited understanding. No, no, he is God manifest in the flesh. But in the sense of neither the Son, in many instances the Lord takes the place of his people. So he puts himself in the shoes of a disciple. He puts himself in the shoes of a Christian. And he's saying on that basis that the Son of God, insofar as he takes the place of the Christian, he's going to pull the curtain down in regard to the day and the hour of his return. So to all intents and purposes, that line of inquiry, if it's brought to him, is shut down. He's taking the place of the Christian there. And he's saying, well, as has been referred to in the case of Paul, Paul knew ever so much about the Jewish traditions, and he was very, very learned when it came to Greek philosophy. He knew all these things, but he says, I determined to know nothing. That didn't mean he could vacate his mind in a second and clear his mind of all that he'd ever studied and learned. No, it just meant that he was taking that position for their benefit as one who didn't have that kind of background. So that's the matter there, I feel.